Grace and peace in the name of Jesus the Christ on this first Sunday of Lent 2024. We welcome all of you who have gathered in person, and what a lovely group you are. And we also welcome those of you who gather through the Outreach Ministry of Facebook live stream. I'm Pastor Mark McCormick, and this service originates from the sanctuary of the Mayflower Congregational Church in Lansing, Michigan. I'm joined by our worship team, production engineer, the Mayflower Chancel Choir, and our liturgist, Jerry Fuller, and Pastor Rachel Garris. Now, I'd like to share with you a proud gift that I got this week, okay, if you haven't already seen it. Gwen Tisdale is the person who makes dolls, and she has just made me several of them. And I guess I would just say I'm a proud peacock. She does outstanding work, and if you haven't known or haven't been here much, those banners are the result of many others. I think all the banners are Gwen Tisdale. Thank you, Gwen. And Terry. He has to go into the man cave when she's doing her work, right? Okay. I'd also like to tell you that on Thursday morning of this past week at 6:41 a.m. in Raleigh, North Carolina, my new granddaughter was born, and her name is Collins Grace McCormick. She weighed at birth 6 pounds 15 ounces. There has been a little concern this week because she came a little bit early, and her oxygen levels are low. She has been in the neonatal intensive care unit for observation, but no news is good news, so I think that everyone, including mother and child, are doing fine, but we'll pass along the word when things just get a little more comfortable. Following the service today, our Lenten series begins with Reverend Art Ritter. He will be helping us in the Gospel of Mark. And that'll follow the Friendship Hour today, as usual, in the Friendship Center. Speaking of Reverend Art, a special service will happen next Sunday here at Mayflower. Art and Laura's grandson, Arlo Nix Gosman, will be baptized by his grandfather during the service next week. And Reverend Art will be preaching the message. We will also host a brief but meaningful celebration in the Friendship Center following the service, and there will be no Lenten study on that day. It will be, even in Lent, a day of celebration. So we are looking forward to that. The bulletin has just about everything you'll need to know. So do the e-notes that Lorraine sends out very faithfully at least twice a week. Our theme for today is Never Again, the words which occur several times in our text from Genesis 9 in the aftermath of the flood. Let us now worship God. Thank you.
Good morning, Mayflower.
Good morning.
As you have already heard, today is the first Sunday in Lent. Lent is an important part for believers to think and reflect during a 40-day period, which mimics Jesus' sojourn into the wilderness. We are also reminded of the events which eventually led Jesus to death on a cross. While we always worship God with celebration in our prayers, music, scripture, and the spoken word, admittedly, Lent carries with it themes which are typically darker. Today, we will entertain different ideas about the nature and character of God. After the flood, as described in the biblical narrative we will hear today, God is recorded as saying to Noah and to his sons that God would never again cause the earth to be flooded. This was part of the covenant God made with Noah and his family. Honest questions about this passage, as well as others, can stimulate our faith as we search for understanding, perspective, and truth. May it be so as we continue in worship. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Eternal God and our loving Lord, we gather on this first Sunday in Lent to reenact your journey into the wilderness and then the journey to the cross. Help us to know that this season of soul searching, self-denial, and repentance can be taken joyfully as we celebrate together in worship. Give us a spirit of willing sacrifice in our service to God and others as we continue our own journeys of carrying the crosses we bear, facing the challenges of life, and recognizing the inevitability of our death. May our joy be full as we continue in worship, looking to Christ who has gone before. Whatever difficulties we face, May we rest in the hope that joy comes in the morning, no matter how dark the night. This we pray in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
A little practical example of what kind of generosity and care and love exists in this church is that Our little thermometer keeps going up. Gifts keep coming in for that lift, as well as for the budget of the church. And sometimes we, as pastors, or in this case, your pastor, just simply steps back and say, thank you, Mayflower, as we now, in worship, offer ourselves to God through the giving of our time, our talents, our treasures, and indeed our very selves. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Eternal God and our gracious Lord, we come again into this house of worship during Lent. And we pray, Lord, that in all the themes of Lent, some of which cause us to reach deep into the depths of our hearts, lives, and souls, we pray that the joyful spirit of worship would never be removed as we rejoice in all that our God does for us, has done for us in the past, is doing for us now, and shall do in the future. Now, Lord, with that, we pray that you would give us a spirit of penitence, of thoughtfulness and reflection, as we journey through this period, as you journeyed into the desert wilderness, and as you then journeyed to the cross, may we somehow be able to find the joy that you found even as you went to the cross, knowing that you did it out of a heart of love. And we ask for all of us that you would help us to emulate that in all circumstances of life and in all whom we meet. Now, Lord, we are confronted on the news every day of things which cause us difficulty in understanding, even shame as we think about the scourge, especially of gun violence, which has once again broken out and caused death and injury and harm. And it has caused a breach in trust, even as people come to celebrate something beautiful. Now, Lord, I confess as a pastor that I don't always know how to pray, except to say that you tell us to keep praying. But Lord, as we think about how you have taught us to pray, we ask that you would continue to teach us how to pray. Also teach us how we can use our voice and our vote to make not only little differences, but big differences in this world. Also, Lord, in your beloved community, you have helped us make big differences in the lives of others as we care, love, give, support, and pray. And for those upon our hearts and on our list, we pray fervently for those we've loved and those even whom we don't know but are upon our hearts this morning as we mention first names. Now, Lord, we thank you that you hear our prayers, and you know the people for whom we pray. And you have taught us a prayer that we lovingly pray together like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's scripture reading is from the Old Testament book of Genesis, chapter 9, verses 8 to 17. Why did God destroy everything in the flood, save one family? What was it about Noah that made him so special? Was God sorry? Did God repent? What is a covenant? Have you ever had any of these questions? Hear now these words. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you. As many as came out of the ark, I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you. For all future generations, I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth, and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, these are not easy questions to ask, nor are they easy questions to answer. Help us all. Amen. I'm going to assume that most of you have some idea about the story of Noah and the flood. It's almost folk culture of a story that invades far more than just the church. It is a story, a much-loved story we read in the Bible, and we especially like to share it with children, and sometimes children's nurseries or rooms have pictures of or depictions of what happened with Noah and the ark. With little regard for the troubling implications of the whole story, we talk about God's love for animals and rainbows. Approaching the story with childlike innocence, we emphasize God's love for animals. And God does love animals. Rainbows also mean a lot to children too, as we are taught at an early age that the sight of a rainbow reminds us that there is a bright side to every storm. But let's face it, We are all children when it comes to animals and rainbows. How many of you have lost a pet recently? And I always become a child, brimming with awe and wonder when I view the magnificence and stunning beauty of a double half-circle brilliant rainbow. I will never forget one I saw on March 22nd, 2010. I guess you could say preachers have their favorite stories. And one of my favorite stories, some of which you have heard before, was my budding romance with Deanne. And some of you may know that the nascent beginning of our romantic relationship had its beginnings in the state of Washington. Deanne and my sister Karen came to Seattle for a sightseeing trip, nothing more. I thought maybe somebody would laugh on that one. With Karen's tour guide brother, yours truly. That was 14 years ago next month. What you probably don't know is that the likely flashpoint of mutual interest and connection began with a rainbow. After a few glorious days of sightseeing in beautiful Western Washington, in unusually bright, sunny weather, lucky for me, on our last full day of travel in my Jeep with the three of us, the conversation turned to a sorrowful, painful, and traumatic experience in Deanne's life, the darker side, if you will. At my request, before I ever knew of or imagined her possible interest in me, I showed my pastoral side long before I was aware of that buried ember in my life, pastoral ministry, which might have been reignited. Looking back, it probably did reignite, perhaps unknowingly, at that very moment. I asked her about the circumstance of her deceased husband Ken's illness and death. "Tell me about it," I implored. As I was driving, Deanne was in the front seat, and my sister was sitting with tuned-in ears in the back. She did. Deanne shared honestly, openly, and with emotional vulnerability her story that began with a phone call. Sitting her in her adjacent office at Mount Morris High School where they both taught, Deanne heard Ken take the call from the doctor as Ken repeated and verified the diagnosis which no one would ever want to hear and which eventually led to his death, pulmonary fibrosis. Because of the emotional intensity of the conversation, which I shall never forget, and continuing to drive while wiping my eyes of tears, none of the three of us had noticed the change in the weather until I had to turn the windshield wipers on. The sun had vanished, and to no one's surprise, it was now raining in the part of the country that is quite familiar with rain, especially in March. At my sister Karen's request, we were driving toward the town of Sumner, Washington, where Karen and I had lived 43 years previously during the years of 1963 to 1967. I was 13 and she was 16 when we left Washington and moved to Michigan. She wanted to visit and show Deanne where we had lived. In the rain, which was now dissipating, the conversation turned to some of the painful child memories of our dysfunctional family past, some of which occurred at the location where we were going. We were only about two blocks away from the old place when Deanne, in an unusual, excited exclamation, said, "Look, there's a rainbow." We all felt the mysterious presence, but very real, so really so, of God in my Jeep Wrangler Rubicon, as if to say that God's covenantal, dynamic, and persistent relationship of love with me and for me continued. This very personal story reflects the dichotomy of the biblical account of the flood, the reason for it, and what appears to be a bright end to the story. There is a darker side to our usual childlike approach to this story, which is often and conveniently overlooked. The darker side of God, as depicted in narratives like this, is difficult to reconcile with the God we have come to love and know. This is the part of the story we would never tell to children. We read of a God who executed a genocide, favored the flawed Noah by a whim or the luck of his birth, caused an ecological disaster, had an anger problem, exercised unrestrained power over an inferior entity, and carried out unchecked power. Where is the God of redemption, grace, mercy, compassion, and unconditional love? And don't forget, this is the same God we read about who sent Jesus to show us how to love unconditionally, include the stranger, show mercy, demonstrate kindness, refuse to retaliate, and even forgive those who would kill him. Now, I'll be honest with you. There is only one way that I can begin to resolve these conflicted understandings of the nature and character of God. While the debate goes on, and debate is good, without offering any final word, I would suggest that the Iron Age writers and their readers could not have imagined the state of our modern world. They had a primitive understanding of the world where a regional flood, which history supports, was considered a world event, which history and science do not support. In defense of those from whom we get this scriptural account, we can all identify with the fury of nature, not only in a flood, but in the tornado, hurricane, fire, and earthquake, when our world around us can seem like it's going to hell in a handbasket. Sometimes the only one we have to blame is God. Regardless of how we package the more troubling aspects of this and other biblical narratives, we can take heart, or at least I can, in a God in whose image we have been created. A God who can feel, empathize, emote, feel sorry, have regret, grieve, and remember. A God who can and will chart a new course by saying, never again, and all for one reason. And that reason is relationship. And that relationship is interactive. It's dynamic, the relationship with God's own creation, including certainly all humanity, everyone, but also all creation, which includes God's care for plants and animals. Think about that the next time you go out and trim your rose bush. Today's scripture narrative reminds or stands against much of what we have been taught about God with all the omnis we give to God's attributes: omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. Sometimes even the beautiful hymns of our faith can blind us to the attributes of God that we find in this narrative. How about this one? Now, I want to tell you, Barb, don't be afraid if you ever want to sing this again, okay? But just as a contrast, how about immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes? These things highlight the influence of Greek culture and traditions upon Christianity in its early days, with modern day implications. Aristotle characterized God as the unmoved mover, but 20th century rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel contradicts that depiction when he depicts God as the most moved mover. God is moved. God is motivated to give God's own self a reminder, a rainbow in the clouds of what God will never do again and may not have ever done. To let God's anger with creation turn into a God-intended disaster. In our modern world, we know how weather works. We know why earthquakes occur. And we know how our misuse and abuse of our earth increases the frequency and intensity of disasters like wildfires, sea level rise, and global warming-induced side effects like more intense and destructive storms, which conveniently get blamed on God. Disasters will happen. Trouble will come. People will die. God's promise to Noah and his family did not change the universe and its seeming unfairness. God's promise in a new covenant fulfilled in Christ has not changed the nature of the universe. But it changes us, and it moves us, just like it did with God. Perhaps the best lesson for us to learn in this season of Lent is to know that it is not only in the Gospels, but in all the Bible where we find a God who has always desired a relationship with all creation. And that would be a good relationship. That includes suffering humanity, including animals who suffer. I must believe that the Christ on the cross is God's way of saying never again to those who think that God doesn't care when suffering happens or when disaster occurs. The Christ on the cross is God's way of saying never again to anyone who might question whether God understands our suffering. And the rainbow in the sky will always be for me the promise that you and I will be included in the covenant. And when you see a rainbow on a flag or on a bumper of a car or anywhere, it is someone's way, our way, of saying that no one person, any person, shall be excluded in the covenantal promise of God. But I also want to say, wherever the flags or bumper stickers are, the most important place for that rainbow shall be in our hearts when we too can say, never again to the exclusion of anyone. Thanks be to God. Now, the transition here is a little difficult when you think about that one, so I'm going to try to lift the spirit a little bit here, folks. As I said, it's no problem, and in fact, it's expected that when we come to worship, we do it with joy. And the next part of our service brings all of us great joy, and I want to say that there will be a good number of people that would be coming forward. But those of you who remain in your pews are no less important for many reasons. So at this time, as you see the insert in your bulletin, if you are an elected officer of the church, those are the ones I want to come in the front, and I will help direct you up here. Come on up.
All right, now there's some other people I would like to come forward. She's not new to me anyway. Our pastoral intern, Rachel, would you please join us at the front? Our director of music, I call her my assistant pastor sometimes. She laughs at that. See, I told you. Barb Fuller. My wife, Deanne, who remembers the rainbow along with me. Become something far more than that, and yet she remains my rainbow in all of life. And let's see here, who am I missing? Brother Art, I'd like you to come up. You've been a part of this group. Mary Muhammad, you're up here, Mary. Help me out. Am I missing anyone else? Thank you, Mary. We have some shy people around here too, right? Now, if you'll take the insert that you have in your bulletin, you will be able to follow along here as we install the officers that have been called by God and then commissioned to serve in the Mayflower Congregational Church. So, before you are the duly elected members of the beloved community who have been called to serve the Mayflower Congregational Church in various positions of leadership and service. It is good to remember that all who belong to the Church of Jesus Christ are called to serve one another in his name, and that includes all of you folks here today. Jesus calls us to share in a life of discipleship and service. So let us now respond to that call. Jesus said, "If one of you wants to be great, you must be servant of all."
Master, we hear your call. Help us to follow.
Jesus said, and by the way, if you want to join in, you can join it with them because this does involve all of us. Jesus said, "Unless you change and become humble like little children, you can never enter the kingdom of heaven." Jesus said, "Blessed are those who are humble, for they will receive what God has promised."
Master, we hear your call. Help us to follow.
Jesus said, "Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Love your enemies and do good to them."
Master, we hear your call. Help us to follow.
Jesus said, "Love one another just as I have loved you. For by this everyone shall know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another."
Master, we hear your call. Help us to follow.
Jesus said, "Go to all peoples everywhere and make them my disciples, and I will be with you always to the end of the world."
Master, we hear your call. Help us to follow.
Lord, you have redeemed us and called us to your service. Give us grace to hear your call and carry out your commandment. Amen. As we belong to Christ's beloved community, we all have a part to play in the life of the church. We give witness to God's mighty act of calling us out of darkness into Christ's marvelous light. Let us now live our lives of service, loving him who first loved us. May we exercise our differing gifts in accordance with the grace given to each of us in diligence, compassion, and cheerfulness. And we extend the right hand of fellowship, which can be symbolic, but it can also happen in a little more active way in the back. I shouldn't say in the back. I've been reminded that's not the back. That is the Friendship Center, folks. Nothing like that is the back. So I'm going to ask Pastor Rachel and Pastor Art, even though Art, you may not as know, or you two may not know these people as well as I do, I'd like, first of all, both of you to go from either end and just shake hands with everybody or give them a fist bump. If you only want a fist bump, just use your fist, but shake hands or fist bump. And here comes the interesting crisscross in the middle. They'll be doing that in the future. And Rachel, you can stay down. Deanne, not ready for you to leave. Come on back. This is not over yet. All right, now, while you're all here, I'd like to take my privilege as pastor and tell each of you how much you mean to me and how much I appreciate your willingness to follow and to accept the call. Bless you all. There's special moments for me as a pastor. I know most of you really well. All right. A lot of energy, a lot of chemistry up here, folks. God bless all of you. What a joy. What a joy, sweetie. Just That's what I was waiting for. Mariana. Oh, my goodness. Oops, I blew it, Rachel. Okay. And by the way, see the person standing up there, Jen Hall. She's on a couple of our committees. So we are going to extend it says pastor, but I'm going to say that we all share this together, the right hand of fellowship. All right. In the name of Jesus Christ, with the authority of the Mayflower Congregational Church, we extend to you the right hand of fellowship, recognizing that God has called you to serve the fellowship of this church. May God bless you in the ministry which you now share with us all. May God, who has begun this good work in you, give you the grace to complete it and to serve God's people in joy and peace. Amen. Now, what I'd like to say, folks, I don't think there's a pastor anywhere that could be more proud of the team we have here and the congregation we have here, because some of you were asked and felt like your circumstances in life would not allow you, or your physical limitations or whatever. But folks, your care, your love and support and your willingness to pitch in, and you all do, means that you so very much are involved in this. So with a great blessing of mine, I say I am the luckiest pastor in the world. God bless you all. And at the close of the service, those who are on committees, you look at the tables back there and you'll see the place. We're going to have a brief convening. Everybody else can get their food that we'll all share together, and then Reverend Art will conduct the Lenten time together. So, one more thing. We're going to sing a song. And this song, do you see it? It's in your bulletin. Do you see the song? It's Lift Every Voice and Sing. Do any of you, if you raise your hand, if you know that there's more significance than just a hymn in the hymnal. All right, how many of you watched the Super Bowl? Okay, how many of you remember that this song was sung at the Super Bowl? Does anybody remember the name of the person who sang it? Was that it? What is it? There you go. I was looking for that. I had forgotten. But this song has become, it wasn't written for this, but it has become the Black National Anthem. And if you have any questions about how that feels viscerally to a black person, you might, you know, ask, where's Mary? Or you might ask Lawrence about this, but we're going to sing this. It's a hymn that has been around for a long time, and you can understand as we sing it why it's so very meaningful, not only to all of us, but especially for African Americans. Let us sing together, and folks, we'll let you return to your seats. Thank you.
A couple of years ago at our national meeting, this song was chosen to be sung at a hymn sing, and obviously some people, many of them, did not have the full significance, and we sang it kind of slowly and drearily, and one of our black ministers got up and gave us a pretty good talk on how that song should be sung, and I'm happy to say, you sang it the way he would have wanted it. But we've sung it unto God, and with that in our minds, let us go. In the knowledge of the love of God, the peace of Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Now, the time in the Friendship Center, especially after we do a little organizing work with the committees, is always a time to fellowship in any way we please. However, I'll be a little pointed about a couple things. Some of you may not know that we have a former member of our choir who's great with child and is with us today. April, it's so good to see you. So if you know April or would simply like to greet her, I'm sure she would receive your greeting well. And, boy, I just had it in my mind. Let me think. Oh, goodness. Well, be sure to, congratulate Art in terms of what's going to happen next week and look forward to that and assure him, if you're able, that you can be here. There are also people, I just realized it. You know, we don't have too many young people in this church. In fact, very few. But there is a teenager here this morning. So make sure that when that teenager leaves today, she doesn't go out and think, boy, they're a bunch of old fogies. It's the way it starts, folks, extending that right hand of fellowship to our young folks. And it's nice to have a younger folks on the ministry team here, okay? So whatever the case, enjoy. I will tell you that the food is really special because I